Our gospel lesson today is the Beatitudes, told by Luke at the beginning of his Sermon on the Plain. I'm going to start reading the gospel 5 verses before what's printed in your worship folder so that we can get a running start into this familiar passage. The Gospel of Luke, beginning the 6th chapter, verse 12. Glory to you, O Lord. Now during those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, who he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus then came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that's what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Perhaps you noticed that Luke is doing something in this text called geographical theology. Luke moved the story geographically from Jesus on the mountain with the disciples to Jesus standing on a level place with the disciples in the crowd. In the Gospel of Luke, mountains are for prayer. Jesus prays high on a mountain before important things happen, like choosing the disciples, or taking Peter, James, and John up the mountain for the Transfiguration, or praying on the Mount of Olives before his arrest. Unlike Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, who wants to emphasize that the Beatitudes come from God, Jesus in Luke comes down on the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus comes down to be level with the people, to be on the same level as those who have come to hear the word, be healed, and be released from the demons. Jesus wants to be in and amongst the people. In the Old Testament, especially in the writings of the prophets, Jeremiah, Daniel, Joel, and even Zechariah, the word level often refers to places of corpses, disgrace and idolatry, suffering, misery, hunger, annihilation, and mourning. God, though, was revealed in the level places, and the prophets saw God at work there, renewing the people by bringing hope and light and life. Today, Jesus comes down from the mountain to be level with the people and with us in our muck and mess, our suffering and our mourning, our misery and our disgrace. Through Jesus and through us, the level places will be renewed, restored, given hope, given life. The kingdom is here in this level place, but not yet. It's interesting that in Luke, the Beatitudes have this real leveling quality. Being on the same level with people, with everyone, isn't always that comfortable. When I came down from the pulpit, and here as I'm standing amongst you now, you might not be able to see me as well anymore. You might have had to look around or stand on your tippy toes. Things and people may have gotten in your way. The view wasn't always clear. When it's level, there's no mountain to look down from. The boss in the penthouse suite is next to the one from the factory floor. The homeless from the city slum is next to the one who lives in the big house with the spectacular view. Rich next to poor, righteous next to unrighteous, saint next to sinner. Both sides of the track are standing together, sharing space. In this kingdom world Jesus creates, we are all together on the same level, and Jesus is with us. So in our text this morning, Jesus got level with the people. They came to experience his power, and they're not disappointed. The power surged forth from Jesus, and many that day were cured. Those with evil spirits were healed. It was then that Jesus looked up. Isn't that curious? Look at the text again. He looked up and he told the disciples some of the most topsy-turvy words ever. Jesus defines who is blessed, and it's not who we think. When I work at home, I stare out my window at a house that's across the street. And this house has a huge 6-foot-tall sign that leans against the front door. The single word on that sign is blessed. Almost daily, I stare at that sign, and I wonder what message our neighbors are trying to communicate. We frequently talk about how blessed we are, and we usually think of material blessings. A house, a job, a stable family, enough to eat, a roof over our heads. Sometimes we even call ourselves blessed when we have avoided a particular catastrophe. But that's not what Jesus is saying about the blessed. Jesus says it's the hungry, the poor, the reviled, excluded, and defamed. They're the ones who are blessed. Then Jesus says, woe to those who are rich, full, laughing even, and thought well of. They're the ones who need to worry. It's really not surprising that Jesus radically reverses our understanding of blessed, presenting a way so contrary to that of the world. Before Jesus was even born, Mary sang the Magnificat and claimed that the reversal had already happened. Pay attention to our sending hymn today. It's Rory Cooney's Canticle of the Turning. Hear Mary speak those powerful words of reversal. Jesus spoke in our gospel a few weeks ago of his mission, saying that he came for the poor and the oppressed, for the captives and those who are blind. We knew this description of blessed was coming. But if we're honest, it's not only possibly confusing, but it's incredibly uncomfortable. It's not the way of the world. So we so often try and take the sting off of this text, domesticate it even, rationalize to ourselves why we might be included here. Sometimes we even romanticize the poor. After all, they're closer to Jesus, right? But Jesus spoke these words to the disciples in order to give them a choice, to give us a choice too. Jesus wants us to choose the way of blessing. Even in the midst of this level place, to be blessed is to see and to know that the kingdom of God is here now. To be blessed is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are part of God's kingdom. To be blessed is to work with all our heart and all our mind for the coming of the kingdom. To be blessed is to have nothing more important than God. Being part of this kingdom, then, being a disciple in this kingdom, can sometimes be painful. This isn't the prosperity gospel. Delmer Chilton, a Lutheran pastor from North Carolina who may be familiar to some of you, tells a story about a conversation with his mama, a straight-talking, Bible-loving country woman. One day he was complaining to her about something that was going on in his congregation. And his mama said, "Son, there's a cross on the table and one on the roof. Why do you think that is?" I got a cross around my neck this morning, and some of you likely do too. There's one on this altar, and we have an absolutely huge cross on the front of our building now. Why do you think that is? It's to remind us that there's a cost to following Jesus. Jesus tells us in the Beatitudes today that when we pick up that cross and follow Him, life won't always be easy. So Jesus calls us to trust with all our heart and mind and soul, to trust that the kingdom will come, but to live like the kingdom is here now. To live for and love all others, feed the hungry, rid our systems of injustice and hatred, weep right alongside those who today are grieving, and be deeply, deeply hungry for the kingdom of God to be realized now. Jesus stands next to us, with us on this level place, restoring us, bringing us hope, and bringing us life. Amen.